Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Office Hours. I'm joined by the incredible Karen McKee, who has a wealth of experience in the luxury travel industry. She, as you currently may know, is the president of Valerie Wilson Travel, a company that's now part of JP Morgan Chase. But she has had years of experience jumping from Global Travel Collection in the No Experiences and a variety of other companies. And I'm just so excited to have you here today with us, Karen. So thank you for joining us.
Oh my gosh, Grace, it is my pleasure. First of all, just excited to speak with you. And I'm so proud of like all the success you've had with the companies that you've started over the years. And also the roster of people you've had on this show. I mean, I took some time to listen back to some of your episodes and Melissa, Matthew, just so many great guests. So thank you for including me among them.
Awesome. Well, you know, I don't know if too many people know this or not from listening, but I actually started out my experience in the travel industry at Valerie Wilson Travel. So this is kind of like a full circle moment for me. Mm-hmm. I started when I was in college and I was helping a luxury travel IC and working with the entire Valerie Wilson team way back when.
Yeah. Long time ago. Now it feels before I joined, sadly. Exactly. It would have been so fun to work together.
Maybe I know, one day. I know, seriously. It was such a great experience. But now you're really helping take the helm and bring it into this new era while also maintaining what it is to be Valerie Wilson Travel. Yeah. So before we jump into anything you know, that I'm dying to ask you about, I want to know if you could just tell me a little bit more about you, yourself, and ultimately your role within Valerie Wilson.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. So just like laying the groundwork of like who I am, how I got here, like what happened. So currently I hold this incredible honor and position of being able to take, as you said, Valerie Wilson Travel, a company that was started in the 80s by Valerie Wilson herself, and truly was the very first luxury travel consulting company. I mean, it was created because Valerie was looking for a travel agent herself, and she'll share the story, and she does it brilliantly. That, you know, she wanted someone with discerning taste. She wanted someone that wasn't just going to book an airline ticket, someone who was going to tell her where to go that she didn't even know she wanted to go. And it's so funny that, you know, we look back at that now. And those are the principles we talk about today as being the most important value that a travel advisor provides. And so the fact that she saw that in the 80s, right, especially at a time when, you know, women were really just, you know, getting started with being in the workforce and starting businesses and being entrepreneurs was incredibly innovative. So I feel very blessed to be able to be in this role where, you know, I can take this company that has that DNA thread in every fiber of our being, in every team member that's here. I mean, we have staff that's been here for decades. It's such a blessing to be able to hear their perspectives of how the industry has changed, but then take that and really bring that forward into a new generation of travelers. And what are they looking for? And how are we servicing those types of clients? So it's a true honor to be able to do that. You know, I don't know how far back you want me to go as far as how I got here, but, you know, I started in the travel industry very much by accident. I came in from finance and I quickly like fell in love with, and we can get more into that. Like I fell in love with everything that it means to be part of this like business that I think most people will tell you they probably never even knew existed, right? There's a lot of education in the hospitality sector that probably needs to be done to talk about the opportunities in travel. But as soon as I fell into it, I just simply fell in love, and I've spent most of my career just focusing on and shepherding and assisting independent travel advisors, which is an incredibly rewarding thing to see someone and to work with someone who just wants to own their own business and really feels passionate about what they're doing, and to take them from, you know, a lost, like, I have no idea even how to start this, to now they're running $5, $10 million businesses, their, you know, spouses are now working for them. And it's just so empowering and cool and wonderful. So that's really what's, you know, continued to like drive my passion. And it's why I put one foot in front of the other every day. That and just like the pure joy of loving, you know, creating an amazing client experience and like what that actually means. And then the partnerships and relationships that come into it. So, yeah, I've had multiple, you know, roles throughout my career, but just very blessed to be here in this position today.
Yeah, I love talking about that from the perspective of when you mentioned that there's so many advisors that have been at Valerie Wilson for so many years, mm-hmm. and you probably get to learn so much from them within the fabric of Valerie Wilson, but also learning from everyone that's newer to the industry as well.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing with me, like, you talked to, you kind of accidentally stumbled into this role. Like, do you mind sharing that story of how you kind of jumped from finance into travel?
Yeah, sure. But quick comment on your former statement before. One of the things that I love the most about travel is it is actually one of those professions where you only get better with time. And so this like dichotomy between the perspective of an advisor who's been, you know, has decades under their belt, they've learned through experience, they've traveled the world, they've been to all these places, is like, it's just a treasure trove of information. And then you also can balance that out with the perspectives of people who are new or getting into that business. So I think it's just such a cool thing that we have both here. And I love that about this company. How did I jump into travel? It's a really good question. I wouldn't say that I traveled a lot growing up. So something I always wanted to do, I didn't, you know, do a lot of it. And I've always wanted to be in business. I just like business in general. I like running businesses. I like understanding businesses. I like understanding how they make money. And so I organically thought a career in finance was what I wanted. And so I did that. And, you know, very early on, I started working in investment consulting. And it was a very niche. It was an investment consulting firm that actually worked with insurance companies. So we basically analyzed insurance company investment portfolios. And yes, I learned how to use a Bloomberg station really young, which was cool. I wish I had maybe kept that skill up. but, you know, I got really lucky in that job because I was there for 5 years. The woman who had started the company at the time is still a very dear friend of mine to this day. And she never treated me like a freshman at a car, an analyst out of college. She always sort of treated me as, you know, here's what you would be doing if you continue to do this for the next 10 years. Like she would throw me into client dinners that I was way too green to be at. She would, you know, send me to conferences where I was like total fish out of water. I had no idea what they were talking about, but it sort of forced me into it. And it forced me to realize, you know, I loved being client facing. I loved being at these conferences. I loved learning, but I didn't like learning that, you know, like I realized very quickly, like the content and the subject matter just wasn't for me. Although I will continue to tell anyone I talk to that having a baseline degree and understanding in finance is incredibly important. I know Melissa talked about this, right? Just in terms of running a P&L, but honestly, sometimes just being able to use Excel, I sound like an elder millennial when I say this, but truly like being able to like get your hands into data and really work with raw data is honestly truly incredible, even though we've got great reporting systems, of course. But all of that said, learned a ton. But, you know, I don't know. There was a gut instinct in me that basically just felt I wasn't in the right place and I wanted to expand my wings a little bit further. And, you know, I was very lucky. I had a very frank conversation with my boss at the time. Said, I love this company, but this isn't it for me. I'm going to cast a super wide net. And the blessing that she gave me, and quite honestly, it's the blessing that every boss that I've ever, unfortunately, have had to resign with has given me, which is that we love you. You've done a great job here. This is a great thing for you. And I think this would be great for your development. But if you ever hate it and you want to come back, you're always going to have a home here. And that's something that I feel very, very blessed to have had that with her and then with many other bosses I've had past that point. And so I did, honestly, like, it's not a very interesting story. I put in some job applications. I think it was Monster at the time. And I ended up getting a call from Frosch Travel here in New York. So they hired me to do, you know, office work, some, you know, marketing work and assisting independent contractors. And I got a very, very quick lesson in like what that was, because I had no idea what an independent contractor was. I learned really quickly how to work with partners, how to help grow their businesses within our own ecosystem. And I honestly just fell so deeply in love with it. I don't want to ramble here, but, you know, from there, it just continued to expand. I started an organization with some other colleagues called Young Travel Professionals at the time, because it felt like this industry that no one knew about. And it was like this little kept secret. And we just wanted to create a network of people who were, you know, just new into this thing and trying to figure it out, that could really sort of learn from each other and build relationships and still have relationships from that group to this day. So that's sort of how I fell into travel. And now I'm just, of course, deeply passionate about it. I'm rooted like very, very deeply in the value that independent contractors and advisors provide to their clients. And it's been really fun to see that grow because it wasn't at that time. I had many people telling me to go back to finance, and I didn't. And I'm really glad that I didn't, because it's an amazing, thriving industry today.
Yeah, I think one of the most unique parts, and you know this from just hearing, we talked a little bit about me jumping into the industry. It was the same way. Like, you just kind of accidentally fall into it. I had no idea the industry existed. And all of a sudden it was like, I'm enveloped in this industry. That's so amazing. I'm curious from your perspective. I know this story really well, but I'm curious if you can give like some of your perspective on, well, you know, partially Valerie Wilson, but also the larger industry as a whole. Like, I'm really curious kind of what you're most excited about. You talked a little bit about like how you fell into it, but looking ahead, like where do you kind of think about Valerie Wilson in the coming like year, months, few years?
Yeah.
How do you think about the industry as a whole from that sense?
Yeah. So, well, I never like to predict too much. Ever since the pandemic, I make this joke because I said to everyone, it's not going to be a big deal. And then it ends up being like an enormous deal. But listen, I think when I started in the business, I kind of latched on really quickly to like the tenets and the value of the industry, even at a time when a lot of people thought it was going to go the wayside, even at that point. And that has proven to be absolutely not true. So I think that today, where I think that as advisors and as people who run agencies need to focus is we really need to focus on the customer experience and providing added value and high quality service. More and more people are getting into the business, which is a wonderful thing, right? Any industry that ends up being successful, you're going to get new entrants. It's a pretty low barrier to entry career. It's one of the reasons it's a beautiful and amazing opportunity for people. But to be able to differentiate, you really, really have to focus on what is it that you're delivering the client. And truthfully, a lot of what we would deliver in terms of call it amenities or even rates at that time, that's like table stakes, right?
Yeah.
Customers are looking for something different. They're looking for you to elevate without even knowing they needed it elevated. So how we focus on that is going to be absolutely critical and how we continue to retain the best customers that we have, the current customers that we have, and the new customers that are inevitably going to look around at the market and say, wow, now I never knew a travel advisor 10 years ago. Now I know about 10 people that are now luxury travel advisors, right? Like, what is really the difference and what can you provide? And that's where I think with VWT, we have a very fortunate opportunity, not just to have like the scale of our organization that has been built over many of these years, the reputation, quite honestly, which holds a ton of water when clients are checking in at a hotel, that they know who VWT and Valerie Wilson Travel is. And it's in the quality of the voice that we provide to our customers through that brand, right? Through the work and the time and all the effort that Valerie and then subsequently her daughters, when they were running this organization, have built. And that's what we have to hold very, very near and dear to our heart and say, we need to continue to be that trusted voice, that trusted brand. But then how do we take our infrastructure and how do we take this organization that's behind us to layer in other things, whether it be tools, technology, or, you know, what have you? We won't go too much further into those today, but that's sort of where I think we fit in this very unique opportunity in this business.
Let me ask you this. What kind of values have you taken from all that history? Like we talked about the legacy and the history and the overall story behind Valerie Wilson. But I'm curious, you know, it's such a changing environment. You know this from experiencing the changing landscape. Yes, the pandemic, but also how people work, how they plan to work in the future. So what is it, what values are most important for you, or kind of like what are the most important pinnacles for Valerie Wilson that you hope to take forward into the future?
Yeah, it's a great question. We are a hospitality company at the end of it. Like we are no different than someone who's welcoming a guest at a luxury hotel. Like we are, one of our rebranding that we're just launching now, our tenant is sort of like allow us to help you navigate the world, like allow us to take this off your shoulders and tell you how we think this trip could be elevated for you. I think it's the really thinking through the client, what they say you want, and then taking it about five steps further and being able to deliver on that experience. And that's tough because at the end of the day, you're only so good as your advisors who are on the phone with those clients every single day. And whether or not they're going to take that initiative is something that, obviously you want to hire the right people, but that's special. That's something that's hard to teach somebody. And so I think we have this very unique opportunity in that it's very written into the way that we operate on a day-to-day basis. And that's what I really want to hold very close and make sure that as we go into the future, as we continue to grow, right? You know, growth can sometimes be like the antithesis of like luxury and scale and high touch. But like, if we can keep that really true and near and dear to our hearts, and that's what we talk about, and that's sort of the language we speak every single day as the number one priority, then that's what I would love to bring forward. We're a hospitality company. The clients come first no matter what. And our advisors are the most important thing that we have in our organization, of course, on top of our employees who really make those advisors be able to do what they do every single day.
I think the brands that have done growth well, specifically in luxury, you know, I mostly am talking about luxury from this perspective, but the brands that have done luxury very well are the ones that have been able to hold on to the history the most in the face of so much change and been able to really double down on what's important to them from a value perspective. So I really do love that from just kind of your thoughts about the future.
Totally.
I
just get so excited about this topic because and I think that, you know, there's a lot of different industries where we can model ourselves off of a bit, right? Like you've got the LVMHs of the world. They own a million different types of luxury organizations, and it's what do they scale and what do they centralize and what do they keep in the business, right? So being realistic about the fact that we are owned by a large organization. There are parts of my business that are centralized within the broader organization. But at the end of the day, it's like the creativity and the intellectual property has to stay within the business to be able to be a reflection of that brand. Otherwise, what's behind it? So I think we have a lot of models to work off of and that have done this really well in other spaces. Granted, we're not a product. We are a consultative service, right? But I think our people, and I hate to say our people are our product, but you get what I'm saying. Like it's the nurturing of those people. It's the making sure they have the tools that they need to be able to deliver what someone else couldn't deliver at another agency. And that's really what it all comes down to.
Yeah, no, I love that. People are your service. And we think about that the same way with Lucia. Our product is our people that we bring on our platform. So it's kind of the same nature there.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask you too, like obviously Valerie Wilson, thinking into the future, you're also faced with changing nature of the industry as a whole. And so some of the changes, including like how you find business, frankly, you know, I remember when I was just joining, it was only word of mouth. It's changed a lot since then. Now social media plays a big part of this, figuring out how to market yourself and really differentiate yourself. So how are your advisors, your RICs finding a way to differentiate themselves and like really, you know, lean into their skill sets in a world where there's much more commoditization of this intellectual property?
This like service. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's a really good question. I would argue that to this day, still a large degree of our new business is coming via referral.
Love it.
And so what we do is we spend a lot of time with our CRM and making sure that we're reaching out to clients we haven't heard from. We haven't done a lot of broad marketing per se, although that could, you know, potentially be changing now that we've got our new branding. But we want to make sure we do that in a very thoughtful way because we take a really, really thoughtful approach to how we pair clients. And this is where I think, I know it doesn't directly answer the question of like broad-based marketing, but I think when you take a one-on-one approach from the outset, when you bring a client in, it just creates an overall better client experience. And my philosophy is like, if you do the job really, really well, the business will come. And so what we do is anytime we have a new customer, we do a profile, we do a one-on-one consult. We try to understand what they're looking for, what they need, where they're based, what their personality is like. And that's how we then pair our advisors. So we take a really, really sort of human approach to the way that we bring new customers into the business, which I think then brings in more clients as a whole. I think that's part of it. I also think specialization to some degree. I think a lot of advisors are generalists, right? But I do think that leaning into some specialty, whether it be where you've lived or just where you've traveled a whole lot, or just a segment you might be very passionate about, whether it be wellness, cruise, whatever it is, being a real subject matter expert is standing out as a more and more important thing over time as more people get into this business as generalists. You never want to pigeonhole yourself into, you know, providing, bless you, one level of service. But I think that this is something where we're seeing advisors say, you know what, I'm going to service all because I've been to all and I know partners around the world and I can plug in the expertise where I need to. And that's partially the benefit of being part of an agency. But listen, I'm going to target specific clients who are in this area, whether it be a local community, or I'm going to target wellness experts. Like that's, you know, a way that I think people have been seeing some degree of success. Social media is sort of like, again, it's table stakes. It's almost like brand hygiene. Like you sort of have to do it. I don't know that people are getting a lot of business from it, but if you're not on it, you don't have that base to legitimize you. It's like what the website used to be. Like you need somewhere where when someone looks you up, they're going to find something. Because by the way, if you don't, I think over time, the internet writes your story for you, unfortunately, like whether you end up at like a conference or a PR opportunity. So you're the one that needs to really take and own that brand and be able to produce content on social media. I don't know that we get a lot of business from social, though.
I love that point just because I always tell people, especially when they're coming to Lucia for, you know, we help a lot of advisors like set up their social media for them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they come to us and they're like, I really need to help grow my business. I need to get a social media. And I'm like, you need a social media, but it's not necessarily going to grow your business. I want to like detach that notion. And a lot of times I consider it your resume. Like, this is your resume. This is your LinkedIn. This is your bio. This is your website. Nothing more. I mean, some people, don't get me wrong, get business sometimes. But I would say even the majority of the clients that we work with who have really highly thriving social media accounts, it's their email newsletters that are like touching in with current clients that are getting them actual business, because it's reminding someone who booked with them last year that they need to book again, or reminding someone to refer it to their friend when they start talking about the industry. So I'm curious, like, do you guys lean into more, you know, you kind of mentioned the consultations. Do you lean into any other untraditional kind of, or I guess it's more traditional, more traditional forms of connecting with your clients? Like, or is it mostly just consultations?
No, definitely. Yeah. So we do all of the above. So we have a newsletter as well, where we make sure we're staying in touch with people when something new is happening in the company. It's a nice space that I can write them a quick letter. You know, hey, by the way, the UK travel advisories are changing. So we do try to make sure we have those platforms where we can communicate on a regular basis. And for our leisure teams and our independent advisors, it makes it easier for us to be able to help provide that content for them so that they can quickly push it out. And, you know, so yes, of course, like, you sort of have to do all of those things. But I agree. I think it's the staying in touch with them. It's the, you know, I don't know, once a quarter, hey, here's some, you know, great destinations we see coming on the horizons. If you thought about your trips, I promise you, like, that newsletter will get more than that post. Like, I agree with that 100%. And I also say, for, you know, especially for people, I guess really anyone, but for advisors who are starting out in their business, don't just think of your sort of contact building from a client perspective. Also think about it from the partner's perspective, and don't forget to communicate with them too. Like, they're your clients as well. And you can always shoot them notes, say, hey, this is how my business is going. Thanks for helping these clients. You know, they're a referral source for people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they get, you know, clients all the time looking for a travel advisor. So you never know where the business is going to come from. But yeah, I think you just got to communicate, and communicate consistently.
I think of it kind of similar to like real estate agents in a way, in the sense of like, and I say this because my husband's dad is a real estate agent. So we're talking about this with him constantly, of like, your network is your client base. So the broader you can expand it, and the broader you can lean into it and be there for your network and be a value add as well, the more likely you are to somehow, you know, benefit from that in return. And I think of partners as the same way. So whether it's a hotel partner or tech partner, et cetera, same thing, like you mentioned, we actually grew that way initially.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, at least to start, your current network is where, but the benefit of being an advisor versus a real estate agent is that your clients can be based anywhere. They can be literally anywhere. So the,
it's not physically,
literal, like, untapped, like, well of potential globally.
Which is my favorite part. And you get to work in a very cool industry, which is pretty sick too.
It is pretty cool. We do work in a great industry. We work with good people.
Well, I want to ask and switch gears just a little bit, because I want to talk about you a little bit more too. And I could talk about Valerie Wilson all day long, obviously, but I want to talk to you because you stepped into this role at a really important time for VWT. Like you mentioned, you're doing a rebranding, you've joined a larger company. So I'm curious, from your perspective, how have you kind of stepped into this role as a leader, as someone that's trying to help grow this business while maintaining its history? How have you kind of evolved as a person throughout these last, you know, few years of kind of culminating into this role?
Yeah, that's such a good question. It's such a good question. When I looked at taking this opportunity, I took it very seriously, and I took it as a big risk, because there was a lot of convincing and understanding that I was going to have to do to be able to prove that this was something that could outlive and outlast and be able to grow into the future, given a lot of the ownership changes that had occurred during the pandemic and what have you. But, and also, I was leaving an organization that I also loved and people that I loved and a role that I loved, right? So I had to really like step back and say, do I deeply believe in what this could be in 5 years? Okay. If I really believed in that, if that happens, that is incredible, amazing. That will be the biggest career accomplishment that I could ever put down as like a book of work. Like, being able to do that is something I would be very proud of. It could also fail, right? It could also, and I think with any new opportunity, you have to look at it both ways. You have to be equally as excited about it to succeed, but then be okay if it doesn't. And that's where, and that's sort of the big leap I took into it, because I really believed that given the environment where it is today, given, you know, concerns around safety, security, customer data, all of those other things, given where technology is evolving, given the expectations of our clients, I going back to what I was saying before, I just felt really deeply that we had this really great opportunity to be this like boutique consultative service in a larger organization, so long as that boutique service was valued within the larger organization, right? And so a lot of, you know, year one was, took humility, quite honestly. I'm one of those people who, and you're probably the same way, because I think any ambitious person is like this, is like you constantly feel like you're five steps behind, right? Or you always want things to be farther along than they always are. So I had to really continuously remind myself, like, this takes time, this takes learning, this takes understanding. And then this takes really figuring out where you're adding value and how you're adding value to your advisors, to your clients, to your employees, to the company overall, right? Because that whole ecosystem has to work in order for this to get to that end state of where I really believe that we can get to. And so what, going back to your question of what have I learned? It's been, oh gosh, I've learned a lot. I've learned to listen. I've learned the power of listening. I've learned the power of empathizing and understanding that you've got a lot of different people coming at this from a lot of different angles, all wanting the same thing, I think, in the end of the road, but maybe not everyone agrees on the path. So having to really like define that path, be very confident in that path, empathize with the people who that path impacts, and then bringing them along for the ride and trying to show them, listen, there might be some bumps in the road. Change is not easy anywhere, right? But the truth is we're in travel. And if we can't adjust to change, if we haven't adjusted to change at this point, then like, I don't know, we've got to be able to adjust to change and trust, like really trust me, because that's any good leader is a degree of trust. I wouldn't be here if I didn't really believe this was going to be great for you and for everyone involved, right? And doing a lot of convincing in what that mission and vision is. And I think to do that, repetition is important. You know, sometimes I think you say something and then everyone has heard that thing. It like reverberates across the world. It certainly doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like you need to say that thing probably 10, 15, 20 times before the people that you're really trying to impact are really going to resonate with that. And, you know, it may require some one-on-one dialogue. It may require endless, you know, calls, which they're like, why do we have to have another call? You have to continue to drive home the message of what you're trying to do, develop that trust, listen a ton and empathize. And that's really what the skills that I've been sort of, or the muscles I've been flexing over the last year. And I think in that exercise, we've gotten ourselves to a really, really good, exciting, fun place where we're ready for the future. We've got our brand identity sort of formalized. We've got all that coming out. Now the fun starts, I think.
I love that. No, right.
It's been fun. It's been very fun.
Of course. But I think that especially since you've been in this role, a little bit over a year? I mean, a year and a half. Like you've definitely been on probably the last year or so, like really getting your feet wet, figuring out where you can help drive the brand forward, but also laying the groundwork of like, I'm someone that you should trust because I also trust you and I want to learn from you too.
Yeah.
And the risk part of it, like it's so true. I think any advisor that's even thinking of like going out on their own, you know, maybe they were an assistant for someone else and they now want to be their own advisor, you know, under an organization. Like no matter what scale you're doing this in, whether you're the CEO of Valerie Wilson Travel or you're an independent IC, like there are a lot of risks in taking the first step forward, but you're right. Like it takes a lot of just figuring out where you could go in the future, understanding if you're okay with the risks and then moving on from there. So
totally.
I think a lot.
And I would say another thing that I learned, not learned, I think I always knew this, but it sort of forced it upon me a little bit, is like I tend to be someone who I shoot at the hip a little bit sometimes. I'm like, okay, whatever, let's just get it done. Just go do, you know, whatever, which, you know, half the time that might fail miserably and half the time it might succeed. But like those are your odds. And then you're just kind of moving things along really quickly. In this last year, I've learned to be much better at intentionality and really rooting back to that long-term strategy of like, does this individual thing that you're going to put this, your very, very valuable amount of time into, going to serve where you need this to be in 5 years? Or is this either busy work or is it just serving a need for an individual person even though it might not be serving everyone. And by the way, if the answer to all those things are yes, yes, and yes, then once you decide you're going to go do that thing, like really put thought into that thing. Take the time to like socialize it internally. Let people knock you down. Let people tell you where it's not going to work. Because if you can pressure test it and then it goes to market, I can promise you it's going to work. Mm-hmm. You can take that. That can be frustrating for some people. To me, it's really helped hone my skills in my ability to say, if I'm really going to go to market with this, if I think this is going to make my advisors' lives better, if I think my clients are going to love this, then I'm going to pressure test it like crazy, no matter what company I'm in, because I think it really helps solidify whether it's going to work and helps you work out all those kinks. Whereas later, I would have totally just done it and then figured the kinks out as I went along. I've switched my mentality on that a little bit since it was last year.
It's so true. And I do a lot of like consulting with some startup founders, especially ones during college. And I say that exact thing, a little bit more in the startup sense, but the concept of you need to do customer research, or you need to interview your employees or interview your customers, and you need to pressure test it. You need to make sure that, like, not from the sense of that means you can't go do something. It just means that you know where the potholes are, is like my analogy. Yeah. Yeah. Like, know where the potholes are in your strategy for something. And as long as you're okay with that, then we can go ahead and execute it. And you know how to avoid those potholes.
Yeah.
So I love that analogy from a larger business.
The potholes, by the way, could be potential scenarios that may never actually happen. If they do, you can pivot your business so much faster. Yeah. If you've really thought through, like, what are all the potential things that could happen that could make this fail? And that, again, it protects your, whether it's your business, your idea, your project, it protects it. Because you've already thought all of these things through. That's something that I've gotten much better about this year. And while that could end up taking time, like little old me before would have been like, I don't care. I want this out in a month, 4 weeks, because I need to see progress. Now I'm much more, is this realistic? Like, are we realistically going to get this done? Like, maybe let's give ourselves the year to really think it through. And I think that you can sort of fall prey as someone who, you know, again, likes to be an achiever, likes to check the box on things, to just getting things out the door quickly. But this really reminds you that time moves more slowly than you, or time moves more quickly, I should say, than you think. And that a year is actually not a lot of time to really help you vet your process, your project, your company.
Yeah. I think you're telling me this to my soul right now, because I am that person, hands up. I'm the person that's always like trying to need to go. And I don't, you know, we're working on it, but I want to make sure that I end on this kind of theme of asking you more as an individual. It's no secret that Lucia is a very heavily dominant female run and also operated company. The industry as a whole is a very heavily female driven industry. It's changed a little bit over the years, but especially given that you are at a company that was started by one of the first female entrepreneurs in this space, and especially in luxury. I'm curious for you, you're someone that is balancing, you know, leading a very large organization, you're traveling all the time, you're a mom, which I love following along all of your family adventures on socials as well. So how do you balance that? And I genuinely ask it because this industry needs to hear it from someone who has done it with such grace. And I would love to hear it from your perspective.
So the funny thing is, well, two things come to mind. Some days I do and some days I don't. And then I think if you ask my husband if I did it with grace every day, he would say, absolutely not. It's not easy. It's not, there's no one does this with grace. It is hard. You know, I was laughing with a friend of mine because, you know, I swear my daughter knows whenever I have to do an interview or a big meeting, she'll wake up in the middle of the night and I won't go back to sleep for a few hours, right? Like it's, sometimes it feels like the odds are stacked against you. And especially I think, being in a role where I'm younger, I think, for this type of a position, and my peers, I've gotten a little used to this, but like my peers tend to be a little more seasoned than I am. And seasoned is the wrong word, but they tend to be farther along in their life journeys where their kids are maybe a little older. And so, you know, I'm sort of viewed in the same level as people who don't have the same commitments and things that I need to take care of. Like I go home and I can't just log on as soon as I get home. I've got to take care of my daughter. I've got to get her to bed. By the time I do that, it's like 10:30, 11. And then it's like, you know, if you log in at that time, and then you've got to be up to get her to school, by the way. So it's not easy. And I always just use the analogy, like some days you're batting 100 as a parent and zero as an employee. And some days you're batting 100 as an employee and zero as a parent. And that's okay, as long as in aggregate, you feel good in your heart with the time you're committing to both of those things. So if I'm taking a trip, I will definitely try on that weekend to be very, very present. Well, I always try to be present with her, but I will try to make it up in some other ways. It isn't easy. But by the way, when it comes to parenting, like, I don't think this is a solely female challenge. I think men have the same challenges, right? I mean, it's very natural, especially as our kids are younger, and it feels like time is like sort of slipping through our fingers, and we want to soak in all these like really adorable years with them. It's really hard to have to like go step on that plane, you know, to Tampa. No offense, I'm going to a meeting to Tampa tomorrow. I'm so excited to see everyone, by the way.
But I'm going to air this tomorrow. Just
it's
so
fine.
I
will say it to their face. No. But a trip can be a trip, can be a trip. And by the way, but once I get there, I'm very excited to be wherever I am. That's why I continue to do what I do. But yes, it's not simple. But again, just be very purposeful about why you're doing it. Like ultimately, you know, I am doing this for the betterment of her and her life and our family and all of those things. And at the point that I don't think it serves that anymore, that I wouldn't do it anymore. I wouldn't make the sacrifices if I didn't feel they were really worth it. So that's what I would always say as well. But I agree with you, because when I first took this role, I was really actually astounded by the number of women who reached out to me, especially with kids, and just said, like, you know, thank you for proving you can do this, or, you know, taking on something like this when you do have a kid. And, you know, by the way, some days I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing it. Like, I really don't. Again, it's just, you just take the challenges and you take it day by day. And that's the only thing that you can do. And just make sure each day you're waking up and you're doing what you're doing for the right reasons. And if you can say yes to that question, then keep on keeping on. Your kids will be proud of you one day too, by the way. I mean, if you just keep going.
I love that. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful note to wrap up on. Yeah. Thank you so much, Karen, for telling us about your story, about your experiences. And as someone who definitely has a lot of friends in the industry and a lot of listeners that are a bit younger in the industry that might be leaning into becoming a parent soon, I think they would appreciate that sentiment too. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Talk later. Bye.